Well, if you have your Bible, I'd like for you to open to Luke chapter 1. And what I want us to do this morning is to come to a look at a man by the name of Zacharias. And Zach, I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, to come up here and fix this iPad. It has logged out on me, and I would love for this to be fixed this morning. So, is Zach here? All right, we'll get him. Here he comes. Let's see if we can't get that fixed. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 57. And let me say, if you're here this morning and you really are skeptical of the things of God, I hope that this morning's talk will convince you that Christianity is real, that faith in God can change your life, because we're going to be examining Zacharias and a period of time in his life when he was extremely skeptical about God and the things of God. And one of the advantages of being at a church for 22 years, as I have been, is that I am able to follow people whose lives are changed over the course of many years. Like John, who's been here 17 years, like some of you who've been here 20 to 25 years, I have seen you go through various stages of faith. Sometimes your relationship with God has been cold, and you're not really sure about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Other times, our relationship with God has been on fire. I'm the same way. It's a little bit like a roller coaster at times. Full of zeal for the Lord Jesus, sometimes cold and hard. God's people are like that. What I want to do is show you what happens in a person's life during those times where faith is difficult. We begin reading in Luke chapter 1 and verse 57, where the scripture says, "Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it happened that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias, after his father. But his mother answered and said, 'No, indeed, but he shall be called John.' And they said to her, 'There is no one among your relatives who is called by that name.' And they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. And he asked him for a tablet and wrote as follows, 'His name is John.' And they were all astonished, and at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. Fear came on all those living around them, and all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. All who heard them kept them in mind, saying, 'What then will this child turn out to be?' For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him." You remember that in our study from Luke 1, we saw several weeks ago that the angel Gabriel appeared to the priest Zacharias while he was serving in the temple, and he told Zacharias that he and his wife Elizabeth would bear a son in their old age. And we saw in our study that Zacharias did not believe God, and because of that, he became a mute. In fact, that's found there in verse 20 of chapter 1. Because he did not believe, he could not speak. But now, in our text that we just read, we see that the Bible says, at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. So follow me. In Luke chapter 1, verse 20, Zacharias becomes a mute. In the text that we just read, the scripture says, at once his mouth was opened. What happened in the intervening time? From the time Zacharias could not speak to the time that Zacharias begins to praise God, what occurred? It's a period, if you will, of 50 verses. From verse 13 to verse 63. What happened to Zacharias during this time when he was mute? Well, it was a cold period in his walk with God. He was a skeptic. He didn't believe God. Probably what happened to him is what happens to us a lot of times when things happen to us that shake us. And we think, oh yeah, where's God? Yeah, surely God, he can't help me. There's no way God's going to make good out of this. You ever been in a time like that? Let me tell you that there are a few negative things that occur during periods of unbelief. When Zacharias didn't believe God, he became a mute. But when he wrote on a tablet so that everybody could see, his name is John, he began to speak. The angel had told Zacharias that you're going to have a son and you're going to call his name John. Zacharias didn't believe him and he went mute. 50 verses later, he writes on a tablet to everybody standing around, encouraging his wife to name the baby Zacharias. Don't do it. His name is John. And at once, he begins to speak. Amazing, isn't it? 50 verses of unbelief. 9 months of pregnancy. During those 9 months, there are a few negative things that happen in Zacharias' life. And it's the same for us. When we're cold in terms of our faith, these things will occur. Without faith, it is impossible to enjoy God. Zacharias was mute and deaf. The greatest pleasures in our lives revolve around listening. And he couldn't even hear. You might say, oh, no, wait a minute. A greater joy is in speaking. No, I don't think so. There are a few people who might enjoy speaking, but it's nerve-wracking. The truth of the matter is those who enjoy speaking only enjoy hearing the applause. After they speak, listening is far more enjoyable. Because of Zacharias' unbelief, he could not hear. Without faith, it is impossible to enjoy God. When you're in a season of coldness, though you are a Christian, though you're a child of God, you don't believe his word. You don't believe what he says. You don't believe what he can do. You will not enjoy him. Zacharias couldn't enjoy the shofar horn. He couldn't enjoy the temple music. He couldn't enjoy the public readings. He couldn't enjoy the public prayers. So it is with you and with me. Second, without faith, it is impossible to please God. This is what the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11. Without faith, you cannot please him. Now, why is that? Well, if you can't enjoy God without faith, you can't please him. Someone has said, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. I believe that's true. When there's no satisfaction in the Lord Jesus, there's no pleasing of God. Third, without faith, it is impossible to serve God. Listen, one of the reasons we're so relaxed around Emmanuel in terms of our service is because if you get a church full of faithless people who are cold toward God, you can motivate them to serve via guilt, and you're going to get what you ask for. A lot of people who begrudgingly serve. But when you get folks who are full of vigor in terms of their faith, who understand who God is and what He has accomplished and enjoy Him, oh my, they can't help but serve Him. When a child is born, there is to be an announcement at his circumcision, led by the father, that goes something like this. Blessed are you, O Lord our King, the King of the world, who has sanctified us by your precepts and has commanded us to enter him into the covenant of Abraham. Basically, what would happen is when a Hebrew son was born, and Zechariah was a Hebrew, he was to take this boy and he was to circumcise him on the eighth day. And he was to quote this. This is a Hebrew tradition. But if you're deaf and if you're mute, you can't say this. You can't serve God. Zacharias couldn't serve God in a state of faithlessness. This is why I would say to you, if you do not enjoy God, if your faith in Him is cold, no amount of guilt will motivate you to serve. Oh, but if you begin to see who He is and what He has promised, and you begin to believe it, wild horses couldn't keep you from serving Him. Now, it could be that you're in a season of coldness where there's not a great deal of faith in the Word of God. It could be that, frankly, you open up the Scriptures and they're dead to you. It's not that you're not a Christian. It's not that Jesus hasn't saved you. It's not that you're not adopted into the family of God. You know you're a believer in Christ. You know that God has saved you by the work of Christ. But you're in a season of coldness. You don't sense the power of God in your life. You don't feel His promises. You don't enjoy His presence. When that happens, it's impossible to please Him. It's impossible to enjoy Him. It's impossible to serve Him. I've got good news for you. God will never leave you in an unbelieving state. He just won't do it. Let me show you what He will do. The Scripture tells us that even when we are faithless, He remains faithful. That's 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13. God remains faithful even when we, His people, are faithless. He will never leave us in a faithless state. Circumstances will change around us. I remember being with a family in our church who had been awaiting a transplant of a major organ for their loved one. And as the weeks went by, they were told they would have an organ, and then that fell through. A second time they were told, and that fell through. And I remember praying with them, and the wife of the husband said, Wade, would you just pray God would throw us a bone? I'm like, what do you mean? She said, you know, we're just in that state where we're struggling believing that God has anything good in mind for us. Would you just pray that He'll show us His goodness? Here's how good your God is. There will be times in your cold, faithless state where He will show you His goodness. He will throw you a bone, and it will rattle you out of your faithlessness. Here's what happened to Zacharias. He saw the boy. Now, sure, over the course of 9 months, He knew that his wife was pregnant. Oh, but he didn't have modern technology like we do, where he could see that the baby was even a boy, where he could see that the baby was even healthy. Stillbirths were very prevalent in his day. And when the angel appears to him in the temple and says, your wife is going to have a son in her old age, and you're going to call his name John, Zacharias didn't believe it. And he went deaf and mute. He couldn't enjoy God. He couldn't please God, and he couldn't serve God. But God didn't leave Zacharias in his faithless state. God showed him the boy. And as the people gathered around and this baby boy on the eighth day is presented, Zacharias is there and he couldn't offer the blessing because he's deaf and he's mute. And they're saying to Mary, call him Zacharias after your husband. And she says, no, his name is John. They turn to the deaf mute and they say, talk sense into your wife. Call him Zacharias after yourself. Do something, Zacharias. And Zacharias asks for a tablet. And the scripture says he gets that tablet. And the only thing he can do is write. And he says, his name is John. And he holds it up. And at that moment, he begins to speak. Wow. There will come a time in your life when in your coldness, God will do something so extraordinary, he will snap you out of it. By the way, if you're in a period of coldness, there's nothing wrong in praying that God will throw you a bone. But let me remind you of this promise from Jesus. Blessed are they who do not see, yet believe. If you're here this morning, and it's hard for you to see the goodness of God, let me challenge you to believe that God is always good to you, even when you can't see it. Second, someone will stand in love beside us. When you're having a hard time believing God, when you're cold in your walk with Jesus, God will send someone along who will stand in love beside you. This is precisely what happened to Zacharias. His wife stood beside him. And by the way, this is an encouragement for any spouse who's married to someone who's in a period of coldness. Will you not accept that person? Will you not love that person where they're at? It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing when a Christian who knows Christ, who loves the Lord, is in relationship with someone who's cold and faithless. It's an amazing thing for that cold and faithless person to have someone who loves them stand beside them. Very few people are geared to love unconditionally. But when you begin to love somebody like Christ loves you, faithful even in a period of faithlessness, God moves in power. Third, God will directly intervene with us. Your season of coldness will come to an end because God intervenes directly, supernaturally, maybe through a message on a Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, maybe through driving down the road and seeing a sign that speaks to your heart, maybe through a scripture verse or a song. God directly intervenes. He'll never leave you in a state of faithlessness. John Donne is one of my ancestors. You pronounce his name Donne. And he was pastor of St. Paul's in London. And he was going through a particularly difficult time in his life. Before he was saved, he was a little bit like John. He grew up on Bread Street in London. He was very immoral. And after he came to know Christ, his struggles didn't come to an immediate end. The truth of the matter is, he's like every one of us. It's a process, it's a journey, it's a walk. And there were times in his life when he would struggle with thoughts, when he would struggle with his actions. He would struggle, even as a pastor, with immorality. And during one of his seasons of coldness, he wrote a meditation. And it goes like this. It's a prayer to Christ. Except you enthrall me, I never shall be free, nor ever chaste, except you ravish me. The problem with Southern Baptist churches, in my opinion, is that we try to get people to be enthralled with the programs of the church and the ministries that we offer, when the truth of the matter is every program and every ministry is designed to get people to be enthralled by Jesus Christ and to experience the ravishing of our Lord. But when the programs and the ministries become an end in themselves, we have lost sight of why we're doing what we're doing. We're promoting foster care this month and next. In fact, it's this spring. We want people to be sensitive to opening their homes to children in this county. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to give you a gold star when you bring a foster child into your home? Are we going to say, attaboy, that's the way. Good for you. Are we going to be thrilled at the fact that Garfield County thinks that Emmanuel's doing a good deed? No. No. This program is designed for you to take a little boy into your home, to teach him what it means to be enthralled with Jesus, to be so ravished by the love of God that he is set free from his bondage to sin. God will intervene. This is why my Arminian friends who preach and teach every Sunday have a tendency to scream and shout in order to get you to change your life, when the truth is, what needs to happen is, if you're in a period of coldness, you need to be in an environment where you can just honestly say, look, I'm struggling. I'm like Zacharias. I don't feel like singing. I don't feel like talking about Jesus. I can't even enjoy worship because my ears, my spiritual ears, are deaf and my vocal cords are mute. We need to come alongside you and say, that's okay. We love you where you are. By the way, we're going to pray that God will throw you a bone. By the way, we're going to stand with you in your period of coldness. We don't ask you to pretend. We're going to ask you simply to be honest with us, and we'll stand with you. Oh, and don't ever forget, God will never leave you there. He will intervene. How and when, we're not sure, but like Zacharias, he will intervene. Let me show you what happens when God brings you to a state of belief and takes you out of your unbelief. Your entire environment changes. The Bible says in verse 64 that Zacharias began praising God. Now, next week I'm going to show you a song that he sang. The scripture says he said it. So it's either poetry that he quotes, or it's actually a song that he sang. It goes from verse 67 through the end of Luke 1. We know Mary's Magnificat. We saw it last week. Oh, but very few people have taken a hard look at Zechariah's song. It's amazing. He begins to praise God. The Bible says the people began to fear God. That's in verse 65. Zacharias was snapped out of his state of disbelief, and the people began to fear God. By the way, that always happens in homes. You get a man or a woman who doesn't try to force religion on people, but whose heart internally is transformed by the power of God, the people around them begin to fear God. That's a good word. It means they respect God. It means they honor God more than man. One of the reasons homes are so dead, one of the reasons families are so cold, is because they'd never seen someone truly on fire for Christ. The world began to experience God. Verse 66 tells us this. Throughout the hill country of Judea, all who heard the people marvel at what had happened in Zacharias' life began to say, "What then will this child turn out to be?" You know, it's a little like that with us. When the world begins to see the transformation that comes in our lives, they begin to experience God themselves. It's one of the reasons why, as we move toward Easter, we're asking you to invite people to come to church at the event center on Easter Sunday morning. And we're asking you just to be real, to go to your neighbor and say, "Hey, are you going to church on Easter?" And if they say no, say, "Hey, would you like to come with me on Easter to the event center?" We're not asking you to do anything extraordinary or out of line. We're just asking you to love people and ask them to come with you. And if they say, "Well, why?" And you say, "Well, you know, Jesus has made a difference in my life. And frankly, Easter is the day we celebrate his resurrection. And I'd love for him to make a difference in yours as well." It's that natural. And then you just ask the Lord to do in that person's life what he's done in your life. And the world around you begins to experience God like you. Now watch, and I'm done. We look at Bible stories and we act as if they're disconnected from us. The truth is, God gave us his word because it's like a mirror. We see ourselves in Zacharias. He's a priest unto God. He's part of the family of God. God appears to him and gives him an incredible promise. And Zechariah doesn't believe it. He says, "There's no way." It's a little bit like you hearing a promise, God will work every event in your life for your ultimate good. And you're like, "Yeah, right, it can't happen. There's no way." And the moment you disbelieve God, you become a deaf mute spiritually. You don't enjoy him. You can't please him, because you can only please God by your faith, not by your works, by your faith. You can't serve him because it's not in you. You've got to be motivated through guilt to serve, because it's not arising from within you by grace. And there could be a lot of you who are here just like that. There's no condemnation. You're just like Zacharias. We stand beside you and we say, God's not going to leave you there. I'm praying that God will give you an experience, an incredible experience that you can see his goodness. I'm going to stand with you in your state of coldness. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to directly intervene to set your heart on fire. And when that happens, revival occurs. We begin to praise God. People around us begin to fear God. And the world begins to experience God. The reason revival doesn't occur in churches today is because revival is not a meeting. Revival is people who move from a state of disbelief to a state of belief. I pray God brings us all there. Let's pray together.